We're up to, in the Rav Avinir text, or on page 27. But if you have the Hebrew, the English, let's just look inside and see a few sentences. Mi goy gadla shalul lekim krev meilav. So it says in the Pasuk, for what nation, what great nation is there that has Hashem that's so close to us? Skulosa shel Knesset Yisrael hi. What is remarkable about the Jewish people, skulosa, the school of the Jewish people, Shehi mistakelos al ha-havaya kula basbeklari ha-mi'ira shel kodesh. What's remarkable about the Jewish people is its ability to view existence through the lens of holiness, to look at everything in life in the world through the lens of holiness. B'chol oiz chayeha himakeres. It knows with the full force of its being, Shachayim shavim heim es erkam, ba'osamida shehem elokim. That life has the greatest value to the extent that it is infused by godliness, that it's a godly life. Chayim she'enem elokim, enem shavim la mu'uma. And life without a touch of the divine, that's how it's translated here, without elokus, is not worth anything. Is not worth anything. So let's talk about this. Let's see Rav Avinir's parish. Kimi gorgola shalilikim krev meilav. And just always have make sure that you register with Moshe Dov and to check your phone. Well, I don't know if you have to. It's on the email.
I'm saying it's WhatsApp.
It's a WhatsApp. Okay, so everybody should make sure that Moshe Dov has the WhatsApp and you get all of the whatever the pages are.
We'll send that link on the email to get on the WhatsApp.
Okay, but just go whatever that means. Okay, it says, "Kimi gor lashalil kim krayv melav hakadosh baruch hu tziva al Avraham Avinu." This is Erev Shabbos Lech Lecha. So Rav Avinir explains, "What is the kimi gor lashalil kim krayv melav?" There's something different about us, and there are a lot of ideas of what makes us different. But Rav Kook says that they're all different aspects to the uniqueness of Am Yisrael, but the truth and the deepest nekuda of that which distinguishes the Jewish people from the rest of the world is this inyan of kedusha. Look what he explains. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziv al Avraham Avinu lelechus me'aretz sov Hashem Yisbach tells Avinu lech lecha. I'm going to make you into a great nation. Now, what does that mean, goy godl? Could mean big, it's translated as great. Goy godl ain't no nimnot bekamus anoshim. Obviously, goy godl is not defined by the population, by the amount. Because the Torah says, ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim, with the smallest of the nations. The Sefer Dvarim, Ne'amar, it says in Dvarim, Kimi gorgor lashalil kim krev meilav. So when we look in Dvarim, there the Torah defines what's the meaning, what makes us into a goy gadol. So it's not numbers, that's not the meaning of goy gadol. So obviously gadol here does not mean large, it means great. So then the Torah tells us, what is the meaning of our being, what defines us as a goy gadol? Not how smart we are, not how accomplished we are, you know, in business and so on. It says, "Mi goy gadol shalol lekim krev meilav." The godless of the Jewish people and every single Jew is elokim krovim elav. The Torah says that. It's not a drasha. The Torah says befeish. You want to know what it means, goy gadol? It doesn't mean population. It means elokim krovim elav. It means kirvas Hashem. That's the godless of the Jewish people. And of any individual Jew, no matter what it is in life that he or she is able to accomplish, the nekuda of godless of a Jew is that he's part of this nation, he belongs to this nation that is krovim elov, it's close to Hashem. So Rav Avinir explains, HaGadlus Mechedesh Shal Am Yisrael, Hikirvus Elokim, Shekein, HaNesham Hitzelem Elokim, Gechol Sha'olim Karev Yoysel Hashem, Kacholis Misatzeim, Selim Elokim Shivikim. The closer one is to Hashem, the stronger and brighter is his Selim Elokim, the image of God within him. Skulos, Rav Kook's words, Skulos Shal Knesset Yisrael Hi. So what is this point of godless? What is this godless? This kirvas elokim, what is it? So Rav Kook explains. Skulasa, what is unique about Knesset Yisrael? She mistakelas al ha-havaya kula ba-aspeklaria ha-mi'ira shel kodesh. That the greatness, the skula of the Jewish people is this unique ability to be able to view existence through the lens of holiness. Aspeklari hamiira, that's used like to describe Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, to be able to look at everything in life through the lens of kedusha. So Rav Avinair explains, Niton lehesbainein al davar mesuyim ba'ofanim shainim. One can look at the same thing in many different ways. The dugma, for instance, chayat, a tailor, yisbainim b'kfutza shel anashim. When a tailor walks into shul, v'yasim lev l'chutza shehem leishim. When the tailor walks into shul, he's looking at everybody's suit and everybody's shirt, right? He's looking at all the shirts and the suits. He says, "Nah, this is higher quality, lower quality." That's more. My father, Lashalm, was a tailor. He had a dry cleaning business, and he was a tailor. And almost every single time I would walk in to see my father, there was something he would touch my coat and would say either that you could do better than this, it's not such a good, this is not this. And he would show me that the stitches are, I said, it's like, yeah, this is like some guy from Williamsburg, this is not from Paris, you understand? So it was the stitches, even my father, or he would say, like that. That's good. Almost every time, it was like a comment about the clothing, because that's what he was doing for all of those years. And he looked at the world through that lens of a suit of stitches and so on, of a pair of pants, of clothing. That's an aspeklaria. That's a way of seeing things. That's very much determined by what we do. So this tailor goes in and he sees, and he notices the shirts that everybody's wearing. Nobody else notices that. When a Jew takes a newspaper in his hand, anywhere on the page where it says the word Jew, he sees right away. Yeah? Where it says Israel, you see right away on the page. Somebody that's not Jewish doesn't see that. He sees what his onion is, La'avdol. But when a Jew takes a newspaper, if it says there could be columns on the page, and there's one column where there's one place where it says the word Jew or Israel, right? You see that. Every one of us sees that right away. You hone in on that automatically. First, there's this you scan the page, and then the eyes are grabbed by the word Jew or Israel right away. That's how it is. Mishum says that tchum inyono, because that's your inyan. Adam acher also live cheres oisa kvusas anashim al pi. And everybody in the room is looking at everybody else according to their Indian. Al pi ma'amodim al-kalkali, could be this one's according to the age. That if you're a 20-year-old, so you take note of the 20-year-olds or that category. Or it could be according to the financial standing. That your person is poor, is not doing well, so he takes note of that, of those chevra and so on. V'chein Allah, whatever the inyan is. Onu Am Yisrael mistaklam b'chol davar b'aspeklari shel kodesh. So what Rav Kook is saying is what's remarkable about the Jewish people, and Hashem Yisbach says b'feirish in his Torah that this is why we are called an Am Segula, a unique nation, is because me goy gadol. The godless and the unique quality of the Jewish people is Ashalolakim Krav Melod, that we look at everything through the lens of Kedusha. That's how we look at everything. That's our inyan. Our inyan is Kedusha. Now that can become very darkened, it can become very, 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 very cloudy. Like Avraham Avinu was so worried about what's going to be with his children. And And he asks Hashem over and over and what's going to be. And the tzaddikim say that Avraham Avinu believed in Hashem's promise, that ultimately there was going to be a whole Am Yisrael that was going to be good. But he also saw that Hashem Yisrael took him out, and it was the night, and he said, Habed na Shemayim Esfashkam Tucha Lispar Yisrael. And it was dark, and you know, when it's cloudy, you can't see the stars. When it's cloudy or there's pollution, you can't see the stars. In New York, you can only see every now and then a star. You can't see. Okay, so the lights are flowing there. But you can't see when it's dirty or it's cloudy. You can't see the stars. So Avraham Avinu was terrified. What's going to be with my children? What's going to be with them? I don't know what's going to be with them. And Hashem said they're like the stars, he said. The stars can, they could be cloudy, it could be other problems where you don't see the light of the stars. So there are of course Jews that over time they're not looking, the lenses are dirty. So they're not looking, the lenses got cloudy. They're not looking through the lens of Kedush. But the natural skula of a Jew is to look at everything. Like the same way that the tailor looks at the suit, and the same way the musician listens to the music, so a Jew sees Kedusha, looks for Kedusha. Through the lens of Kedusha. How does this measure up to that possibility of Kirves Elokim? Is this something that brings me closer to Hashem? Or is it something that it takes me further away from it? And an Erlich Yid lives with that question every single moment of his life. Does this show that I'm watching? Does this book that I'm reading? Does this place that I'm going to? Does this friend that I have, is this bringing me closer to Hashem? Or is it taking me further away? Not, is this fun? Do I like this? There are other people who look through that lens of fun and whatever, excitement. The lens of a Jew is, is this bringing me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is this taking me further away? And if you ask yourself that, whenever you're doing anything throughout the course of the day and one's life, is this an Indian that's going to be, is this going to bring me closer to Hashem, or is this taking me further away? It means that your lenses are clear. It means that you're looking at the world in a Jewish way. That's a Jewish way of looking at the world. Is this an opportunity? Or is this going to bring me closer to Hashem, or is this going to take me further away? That's really what it means. Is this good for the Jews, or is it not good for the Jews? When you look at things in that way, of me gogor lashalukim kara, the greatness of a Jew and the greatness of Am Yisrael is that we have the capacity to live our lives in that way. Every single moment is with that question: Is this going to bring me closer, or is this going to take me further away? B'mabat shel kodesh, v'lo b'mabat shel chol. That a Jew is a creature that has the ability to look at things through the lens of Kedusha. As opposed to the rest of the people of the world, they're very fine, very good, and very nice, but the lens is chol, secular. Every decision that we make in life, every decision we make for our kids, where you send your kid to school, where we move, whatever, every decision is you either make it through that lens of Kedusha. Does this school look like the best possible choice, obviously with whatever limitations one has in life, the best possible choice for my child to be in that parasha of Asher Elokim Krivim Elov, Kirves Elokim? And if your answer is, this is the best school that will hopefully get my kid, and you know, even though the kid's in first grade, an internship, you know, like by some big firm, then that's a way of looking at life, but that's not a Jewish way of looking at life. That's not the aspeklari of Kedusha. That's not the godless of a Jew. That everybody in the world, you know, what's going to put my kid ahead. But what is going to help my child develop into a person, hopefully, that will be karev Hashem, that will be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the skula of the Jewish people. Period. You can make up all the things and you can make all kinds of excuses. No, but parents usually say, no, I also want them to be a, I also want them to know how to learn. They might say a little, sometimes they say a little. I also want them that he should know how to learn. I want them to know how to learn. However, listen, Rabbi, you know, this is the world, and the world is, and it's a whole speech. And I say that you're a wonderful person, but you're not a godl. You're not a godl, you're a cotton. You're a cotton. A godl? There's only one definition of godless. Kivus elokim. Not how rich you are, not how smart you are, not how much money you have. The measure of the godless of a Jew is kivus elokim. Period. That's not negotiable. That's not up for discussion. Zehu. The Torah says that very clearly. So whatever you get into some pilpulim with people about all different things, I mean, the Torah says, "Mi God God Kol Asher Elokim Kroivim Elav." Elokim Kroivim Elav. To look at everything through those lenses. Hamad Lamoshal, science, for instance, Mizbani B'Metzias B'Mabit Shel Chol. Science and the scientist looks at everything, unless it's a from scientist, but a secular scientist looks at everything through those empirical lenses of physical reality. Chol. A kerch tzaf al pnei ha-mayim. The ice is floating on top of the water. And Moshe b'derech klal mutzak kaveh yosei minozel. Even though the ice is heavier than the water, right? The ice is much heavier than the water. So really, the ice should be sinking down to the bottom. V'yesh l'kach hezber madei. And the scientists, of course, as we all were taught, explanations for why is it that this ton of ice is floating on the water? How come it's not sinking? And scientists have a parish. Limud haMad and Nitzrachim, and we need to understand these things. Ruachain lo nuchal l'stabek b'tshuva shekar gozra haChachmas Yisbarach, and therefore, We're not going to stop with the answer. Well, the reason that the ice is floating is because Hashem was geyser. That's true. Hashem decreed that the ice should float. That's true. But if we want to be able to develop our lives and to be able to discover ways of helping other people with medicine and using science and so on, we say, yes, Hashem has decreed that it will be this way. But let's try to understand Hashem's ways. How does Hashem do that? And by studying how Hashem does that in the world, how he makes this big chunk of ice float on the water, then that will help us to understand other things that could be used in life. And that's why people eventually realize that they can get into a boat and go see their grandmother or something. Even though the boat is heavier than the water, there's a way to sit on a boat and to move. So the Torah is not, of course, is not against that hakira of science. But of course, the one who is seeking Kirvus Elokim always begins with Allah Kol Hashem Kenach Namoidim Lach, that this is Hashem's Baruch's, this is the greatness of Hashem that He made such a thing. Omnam Limudei Hamada Einam Soisim Es Emunah. There's no contradiction between science and Emunah. That was a whole big topic, like in the 60s and the 70s. I was going crazy with that stuff. It's already always gespielt. There's no contradiction at all between science and Emunah. And if some scientist says something that contradicts Emunah, it means that that's not the science, and that's not the right understanding of Emunah. It's not the right, you didn't understand the science the right way, and you didn't understand what Emunah is. There's no contradiction. Ach nekudas hamabat shel hamada hi shel chol. But the nekudas hamabat, meaning the lens of the scientist, is secular. It's secular. It's without kedusha. It's without God. Again, the secular scientists. It's without kedusha. It's without a creator. It's to understand by natural conditions and by sibum, so by cause and effect, how does this come to be that this thing is floating on the water? Tafkidenu, and that's the job of a scientist. And if you pay for some guy, some scientist, and he's working and he's doing research for you, and they're trying to find a cure for COVID or something, and the guy's working in your laboratory, and every time the boss comes over to this guy, He's standing next to his microphone, his microscope, and he's looking, he's learning Mishnayos, and the boss is like, what do you think you're doing? He says, what's the nafkin it is? It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyways. So the guy loses his job. He's not, you're getting paid to try to figure things out. Yeah, we know it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the boss is also from guy. And the boss says, yeah. What the Baruch Hu is also giving us a way to figure this thing out. Let's see if he gave us a way to figure this out, to understand his mysterious ways to the best of our ability, how we can help people. And that way the guy next door, he doesn't have to die from this thing. So it's not a contradiction. Tafkidim was b'nei b'chol b'kol b'mabat shel kodesh. The tafkid of a Jew, just the same way the scientist is getting paid, and that's his passion and that's his life, is to look at things through the lens of nature. That's his job. That's what he's good at. A Jew was created, and the passion of a Jew is to study everything through the lens of Kodesh, of Kedusha. And it's not a contradiction. He just begins with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The guy by the microscope, of course he is Hashem is Baruch. But to look at everything through the lens of Kodesh. My Ratzon Hashem. My Ratzon Hashem. My Oifen Hanagosa. Was Vil De Eivishter. What does the Baruch Hu want? Like I told Anyotiv, the Chavetz Chaim, and it was thundering and lightning. It was lightning and thunder, and the Bacher looked in and he was watching Chavetz Chaim, and Chavetz Chaim was sitting by the window, and he was asking Tatan and my father, what is it that you want? What are you asking of me? Because the Gemara says that when the thunder is, why does Hashem make such a strange thing like thunder? So it's to straighten out the crookedness of the heart. In other words, to give you like a little bit of a shock to remember that there's the creator. That's what the lightning is about. Thunder and lightning is to remind you that there's a creator. Right? It's to remind you that there's a creator. That's what it's for. That doesn't mean that explains how lightning works. And that we didn't need Ben Franklin going around with a kite, whatever. I'm not sure what happened there that day, but that's what we were always told. I guess it's true. Something about Ben Franklin with a kite and the key, something. So it doesn't mean that there's nothing there that's happening, and that it could be studied and understood, and how we could maybe harness that energy, all kinds of good stuff. But Chazal say it, and the lens of a Jew shows him that Chavetz Chaim says, "What do you want of me? What are you telling me? I know that you created this to remind me of your existence. It means that me, Yisrael Meir, Chavetz Chaim, I'm something that I'm forgetting, and I'm asking you to help me remember what it is that I forgot. It's not a contradiction. Mar, what's Hashem? What does Hashem want? Ma oifen hanagoso. Everywhere a person is in life, and anything that we're going through in life, that's the first question. Ma rotzeh Hashem. Vos vil da'ibishta. What does the Creator, what does the Rabbanu Shalom want? What does he want? When you put your computer, your iPad in your hands, what does Hashem is about to want? That's the opening question. So then you have to work. He wants me to work. He wants me to look up this and to call that. Say that. He wants me to do my job. And my job is that this is the work that I do. I sell houses. I got to look up all the listings. And, okay. And the Baruch Hu wants me to remember that he created the world. He's in charge of it. I'm not going to get nervous, even though it's not showing me any business right now. My road's not going to borrow. And if a person picks up the computer, the iPad, with that machshava, then he's not going to go to bad places. Because Hashem doesn't want you to go to those places. What's the chachmas Hashem in this iceberg? What's the chachmas Hashem? And what's Hashem is about telling me when I study this iceberg? What's the Baruch Hashem telling me? What does that mean that something heavy can still float, not sink? What does that mean? And then you look in this pharmacology and they tell you that there's such an inyan that even though a person's heart is covered, it's heavy with all kinds of sadness and all kinds of tzaras, he's still able to be misgabra, not to sink. And at all different levels, what's the Ratzon Hashem? What's Hashem want me to understand from this thing that I'm looking at? How is this piece of ice, how could this bring me to a Kirvus Elokim, to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hamifgash im Rebbeinu Shel Olam, this encounter with Hashem, this meeting Hashem everywhere, who Kishra im Yuchad Shel Am Yisrael. This is the unique and remarkable talent of the Jewish people. Not the violin, not microbiology. We're good at all that stuff. But the unique talent, there are other people that are good at that. The unique talent of Am Yisrael is to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. To see Him in everything and to see Him everywhere.
When
you just look with regular lenses at the world, it's hard to see. It's hard to see Kedusha, holiness, and Elokus. Because the world is filled with misery and suffering. All kinds of clouds and darkness. Avlos, vandalmusia, all kinds of injustice, all kinds of plagues and sicknesses. Ach kayemes bohas peklari hami'ira, shal ribono shel olam. But there's such a thing that a Jew looks at the world and even at the difficulties and the sicknesses through the lens of Kedusha, of the ribono shel olam. That's, and I know I've repeated this a million times, but there's still things with this machla that haven't been finished. There's still in yonim of this shiraim of this machla, but that was the ikkah thing that we were crying about and screaming about and talking about during that entire tkufa. Not to say that there isn't a sickness, and not to say that it's not real, and not to make believe it doesn't exist, and therefore to do all the things that have to be done. To deal with that mitzvah, and that's what the Torah requires, to appreciate, to respect what science is saying, and to go with that mahalach. But where is that lens of a Jew to say, to ask the question of my rights are Kashbarov? It was gone. And what happened to that? It was very, very scary. I found it to be unbelievably scary what was happening. And the follow-up of all of that is there's still thousands of people who are davening in tents who are not going to shul at all. It's an amazing thing what happened. It's such a beer of what does it mean to look, how do you look at the world? And that terror that took like hold of people, that they mamish lost their minds and they lost their bearing in life. And there's still people that are doing that. That no emuna, no bitachon, nothing. Kilo, it's purely science. And then the unbelievable discouragement and the disappointment that these people have when they admit, or when they're ready to and prepared to admit, that the scientists didn't get this either. They're still struggling to figure it out. And all of the steers. And what did they fall back on? If your whole mabat, if your whole lens is chol, and everywhere you're looking, they're contradictions. Everybody's arguing. They're all fighting with each other. This one says this is good. This one says this. This one says, what's the guy's name? Zelenko, you remember? That Russian Jewish doctor. He's a Rosh, he's not Maris. The other one says the guy is Mamish. The guy is Yoshka. and this one says it's a mitzvah to buy into this thing. The other one says it's us to have his things in the hospital and so on. All of this, all of these chilukedayas. Where is the Shivis Hashem Nenegdi Samet? Where is the serenity? Where is the tranquility of a Jew? Where is the peace of mind? Where is the Amuna? Where is that lens? What happened? It was such a bira. I think about it all the time. I'm always down the kafskos. I try hard to be down the kafskos, but it was such a bira this time. That you see that, like Or and Chayshah. Emunah and not Emunah. And it has nothing to do with whether you wear a mask or don't wear a mask. You wear a mask, okay, that's fine. But, like, take it easy, you know? Just remember who you are, remember where you are, remember who fears the veil, Who's running the universe? Who's the Balabas? Meet Bal Habir. Who's the Bal Habir? Who's the Bal Habir? Just take it easy. Who's the Bal Habir? I was at a chasna. I was sitting next to a couple of the chaver from shul the other night. Beautiful chasna, Baruch Hashem, b'zeichet to be at. And there was a fellow sitting in the row in front of us. He was wearing a mask. And my friend next to me, honestly, I didn't hear him cough. I really didn't hear him cough. I didn't hear him. But the guy turned around and he said, "You know that you're coughing." So he said, "I don't know. I did. I'm sorry. He said, "Don't do that again. And if you have to, you should leave." But it was such a chaos. "And if you have to, you should leave." So we all looked at each other, and then we passed him a napkin, like to put it over your mouth or something. This guy, and then I know he didn't cough again. He didn't. Maybe he cleared his throat. I'm not sure. But the guy turned around again. The guy turned around again. He gave him such a mishaberach. Like, "I'm going to report you to the CDC or something." So the guy said next to me, he says, "Maybe it's a good thing you're here. Sometimes I want to let this guy have it, but he doesn't know I also want to let him have it." But we all behave. We behave. He's older than us, and he's nice, and everything like that. So of course, we put a napkin. Everything is good. Shalom Yisrael. "What's the matter with you? Are you out of your mind?" I'm not even talking about, of course, we all know that the mask is a... I can't finish the sentence because then they'll take me away and handcuff me. So, all in you with the mask is Eisgespielt. You understand? It's Eisgespielt. That's not science at all. But and if it is, it means that he doesn't want to give it to somebody else, not that he's not going to get it. That we already know that. The Chabshat, we know that. It's something else. But where are your midas? Like, where's your emunah? Where's your... You went for the last 2 years with saran wrap around your head. And you think that... And now you're sitting at a wedding, and the guy's right next to you, and this is going to be the thing that does you in. This guy that's clearing his throat, that's gonna send you off to the hospital. There's no Rebbeinu Shalom. I'm not even talking about the medicine, the science. There's no Rebbeinu Shalom. Gone. He's gone. And if you talk, these diburim, that person would hear it, he would give me a huge mishabeach. Because he would interpret it to be saying that, "Oh, you're one of the chassidim, you're one of these guys from Borough Park, or from Williamsburg, or whatever, Bnei Brak, and you make fun, you don't believe in the medicine, you don't care about other people's lives." Like, there was a guy that I went to, and he was wearing a mask, and said, "V'haftel racha kamoicha." Yeah, you see one of those? If you really loved me, you would just stay home. Just stay home. Or take that thing off your face. It's not about... It's something else happened. And what happened was that lens of what makes us great, there was like a nefila, not godless. And it was so sad to watch. So sad. That godless of a Jew, to be a person with a gvura. Again, I repeat for the thousandth time, do the right thing. Ask your doctor. 100%. And I'm lamaskos, this guy might probably has some kind of a thing that he's not healthy, so he's scared. I get it. Yeah. All kidding aside, I get it. But where's the Gurus HaNefesh? Like, where's the Simchas HaChaim? What happened to... Why are we so upset and depressed, and then you can't be alone for a month or two? Like, what happened? What happened? Why can't you be alone? I'm not talking about sick people and old people. You understand? Again, with all of the things they have to say to make this politically correct, I'm saying all of that stuff. All the stuff is politically correct. What's so bad about being alone with Baruch Shalom? What happened to you? I was on the phone day and night with people who were falling to pieces. You can't be by yourself? What's the matter? Take out a safe and learn. I'll tell you the truth. It was the best time I ever had in my whole life, aside from the fact of hearing bad news and having to be on the phone with all these people. Okay, when I have offices, my wife and I went bicycle riding. I'm a chaya. I was able to, with the children, with the grandchildren, to take walks. It was if there would be no sickness and nobody would get sick, I would daven that we should have that back. It was the best time I had my whole life. There was such a masikus, the davening, there was such a pashtus, such a masikus to it. And when we did the chadoidi with the grandchildren, with the kids, there was a masikas to it, the unbelievable masikas, a pashtus to it. That pashtus that my whole life I'm looking for something simple. And you know, people are going crazy out of their minds. They're afraid of the Malach HaMavis. Rabbi Chonam Asim said that every bullet has an address on it. And you could wrap yourself up from the Hadbiz Morgan, and if it has your name on it, it's going to find you. Period. The Baruch Shalom, if your time has come to leave the world, your time is up. And it's not going to make a difference if you yell at the guy behind you that he was clearing his throat or he coughed or something. It's not going to make a difference. And we saw that. I saw that the people that were the most scared had a lot of sorrows. Hashem Yirachem. It's not, this is what I found. The lens of a Jew to look at the world in such a way. In a way without God. To look at the world without the Baruch Shalom. Everything is science and everything is cause and effect and that's not the world that's not the world that a Jew lives in. It's a different world. So of course, we have to understand that, and we have to study it, and we have to try to do whatever we can to be careful, to be healthy, and so on. Tafkidei was lesbonim b'chol ma'abat shel kodesh. My rotzon Hashem, ma'avon Hashem, ma'amifkash from Rav Shalom, who kishum miyuchad. That's let me go down a little bit. Zum sha'olam mali b'sevel, yeah. Asvagar miyush Rav Shalom, ela shel kol achad mukshel ha'afim b'kachin. Not everybody in the world is able to see the world through that lens, through those glasses of kirvas alakim, of Akash Baruch Hu, that everything is alokus, that everything is Hashem. La'am Yisrael nitna hayicholus lezboinu b'mitzias beinayim shel kedusha. Am Yisrael was given the ability to look at reality with the eyes of kedusha, with holy eyes. That's And now we go back to Rav Cook's beautiful, beautiful words. I'm going to use this translation, it's better than mine. It knows with the full force of its being that life has the greatest value. Rak ba'osa mida shahem elokim, to the extent that it is infused by godliness. The life has the greatest value to the extent that it's godly. V'chayim she'enem elokim, enem shavim la ma'uma. And a life that is not, and a life, here it translates, and that a life without a touch of the divine, that's, I like that, is not worth anything. Is not worth anything. Because there were people, and this is where there was a huge divide. And there was a very good article that I read, I don't remember who sent it to me, early in the pandemic. There was a chashev article, I don't even remember the name of the author. He was not a Haredi person. I think it was either just a Yid, or it could be somebody that was modern Orthodox, but clearly from the article, it was not Haredi at all. But he was trying to explain like what was going on in Bnei Brak and in Yerushalayim and so on. He was trying to explain it to a secular audience. Of course, there was a lot of stuff that was just insane. But he was trying to explain to a secular person to understand, like, how do these people think? There are people who think in such a way, and again, I'm being very careful, I have to be very careful how I word this, and I hope you'll understand it and you'll take it the right way. There are people who feel that if we, I'm not talking about guys that stam shaitan, I'm talking about serious, serious, great people who feel that if I can't do this mitzvah, or if I can't daven in a minyan, then my life is not worth living. Now that's I'm not saying that's correct halachically. Of course, you could daven without a minyan, but there are people, and I'm not talking about the tent dwellers. You understand? There are people who feel that without Yiddishkeit, without my routine and the rhythm of my Orthodox life, I can't live. There are people who feel that way, and that's what he's trying to explain in the article. He probably got bashed by a lot of people, because what he was saying is that he was using that category, that in, among the modern Orthodox, the so-called modern Orthodox, but that, I don't like to use those terms, but among the modern Orthodox, that is not a common, that's not the common theme. That's not the common theme. Where there, Yiddishkeit is part of life. It's a very, very, again, it's a generalization. But to be able to appreciate that there are people who the Sam Rebbe, Sussi Elenu, when it was in the war, and it came to shaving off his beard, he said he would rather die. Now you could say, Rebbe, is that the halacha? A Jew supposed to die for a beard? So then the Rebbe would say, no. He knew halacha much better than all of us put together. No. What should I tell you? I can't live like that. I can't live like that. Well, I can live like that. And there was the Indian of Shashmad. I'm not going to the halachas now. How do we define the Holocaust? Whether it was a shmad. I'm not going to that because in halacha there's room for that as well. Even though normally it's just the big three, but I'm not going into the halacha. But he didn't say it. He didn't have to go into the halacha. He said, I can't live like that. I can't live like that. You understand? He wasn't looking in the mirror. Or asking his wife, how do you think it looks? A little closer to the face, honey. No, that's not what we're talking about. Without that, my life is not worth living. There are people for whom a day without tachanun is a relief. And there are other people that, it's hard for me to live without tachanun. It's a different life. There are people for whom, when they said, all right, everybody, go back to shul. Shuls are open. Oh, no. That was like bad news. And there are other people who are on the sidewalk with their hands in the concrete, scratching to be able to climb back into shul. Crawling to get back into shul. And now we found out the difference. Again, not judging any individual, but both in Klali. It's a big beer. Who are you? Who are you? Were you waiting to get back into shul? With all of the masikas that I was talking about a few minutes ago, but to be able to fulfill to the best of our ability the Ratzon Hashem, which is the Daven Mitzvah, or are you just like this was a way to get out of it? And now it's I'm trying to get an extension. See, whatever I can do to get an extension. It's that question of what does Hashem want? And how do you look at your life? The Sam Rebbe couldn't live without a beard. And other people would say, that's ridiculous. It's against halacha if you do that. If you give up your life for a beard. In the end, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, couldn't see him. His Gabi Ashkenazi said that when he went like that, so he used to wear shmata around, when they first came in, he wore a, like they used to wear when they had a toothache, they used to wear around the face a shmata. So he put a shmata around his face. But then his Gabi said that there was a certain maisa that happened, that they got stuck in a room somewhere, and the Germans were all over. They were all over the place, and there was nowhere to run. All over. And they couldn't go anywhere. And he was with the Satan Rebbe, and the Satan Rebbe told him, the Satan Rebbe was b'chlal, not in any place of pachat at all. And the Satan Rebbe was standing there without anything on his face, just with his beard. And he told him, like, it's gonna be okay now. To me, okay. And he said that they ran all around this house, they walk in, and the two of them stood there like this, and nothing happened. He said, I'm not cutting off my beard. I'll make myself invisible, but I'm not cutting off my beard. I'm not going to cut it off. He looked at the world in a different way that we look at the world. So you can yell, and you can scream that that's not right, and who said you have to do such a thing, and that could endanger, and what about your family, all that stuff. This is Akasha. Life is not worth living. Life is not worth living. My father was home, said to me, it was very, very hard before at the end, it was getting very, very hard. He didn't miss a day of tefillin. Throughout all of it, the last few months was very, very sick. And the doctors, they said that you can't. And my father said to me, he says, if I can't put on tefillin, mechil mishlein. He says, I'm putting on tefillin, I don't care what they say, because they say, because with cleanliness and different things, but I don't have to explain to you, it's all matzah. My father said, I don't care, but I was saying, but Daddy, what if he says, listen to me. He said, if I'm not putting on film, I'm not going any further. That's the end. I'm done. Okay. Not that the latest report from the CDC says that your tefillin might be infected. You say, oh, I didn't know that tefillin could be infected. Okay, I guess I'll have to put them in the drawer for a couple of months. You understand? It's a different mabat of how to look when your eyes are Jewish eyes. It's a whole different sense of what is it you're looking for in life. This during this last year and a half or two is a tremendous, tremendous beaver in this inyan of what Rav Kook and Yibodel Ben Chaim L'Chaim and what Rav Avinir is explaining. He didn't like that when they asked him for a reference. He gave it because he was such a nice person.
I asked him, no, I said, I spoke to your father, yeah. And I said, how is it that you put on tefillin Nazis were there? He said, they didn't see us. They really weren't looking at us. It was nothing.
They were every single second looking at them, and they were surrounded all over the place with
he
them.
He told me they weren't really looking. They weren't really concerned. We wanted
to be concerned. That's two of us.
There were two reasons for that. A, he didn't want you bothering him. That was the first reason.
No, he said it was sincerity.
No, I'm joking. And the second, a little bit. And the second thing is that he could not stand when anybody made in Yonim about stuff. He hated any in Yonim about stuff. Of course, there were Germans all over the place. And what, it was Hefker in the conversation? Why didn't they just leave?
No, I'm just saying. It was a strange answer that none of us would normally say. It was different.
No, every single time any one of those Jews, including my father, any time they put on film, they were risking their lives, period. They were being watched all of the time. The last week of the war, the Germans were running for their lives, and the Germans were themselves, the last week of the war, or two, maybe, it was different. But during that entire year and a half or so, that the Hungarians were, that wouldn't be, the Germans were all over the place.
It was just
you couldn't scratch your head. You ever know a German not to watch somebody? You ever hear of a German that doesn't pay attention? There's no such Matthias as a German that doesn't pay attention. Doesn't exist. They found if there was a Jew in a forest, and the forest was 10,000 acres, the German would find the Jew hiding 10 feet under the ground someplace.
So you just didn't want to answer?
Correct. He didn't want to answer us either about it. And he used to say things like that to me also. He said, listen, I managed. We managed. They didn't always see everything. He said that to me also. They didn't always see everything. It doesn't make a difference. The point is, where does the Rutzen come from a Jew to see that to feel that if I don't put on tefillin, then my life is worthless? If I don't learn today, what's my life? If I don't daven today, what's my life? Not can I get away without it, or am I putter? Not when, and I remember once that my father, my parents, my mother, they used to come over every Sukkot the first day to us. Until the last few years, they couldn't go anymore, but they used to come to us every year, Sukkot. And it was once the first night, and it was one of those, it like did not stop raining. You know, we did everything we could, and it wasn't like a drizzle, it was momish, pounding away. And it wasn't even like you could do, you know, to wait till, we waited. I mean, the women, but the men, we waited till it was already midnight. We waited, but it was nothing to do. It wasn't letting up. It was just pounding. And that was it. We had already eaten because we made kiddush in the house, all the children over there. And it must have been 3 a.m. It must have been 3 a.m. And one of the babies was crying or something. He went downstairs to get a bottle. My father's sitting by the door looking in the sukkah. 3 a.m. Looking into the sukkah. So everything is worth looking into the sukkah. So then he asked, so I would ask him, so he would say to me, you think he would answer me to say, because I go like Rav Kook? That's not what he said. I said, Daddy, what are you doing here? He said, no, I'm having a hard time sleeping. That's all. He wasn't doing that. He was standing guard by the sukkah. Standing guard. Because that's his life. It's not an obligation. It's not because someone commanded you. It's not because everything in halacha says you don't have to sit in a sukkah tonight. It's finished. Go to sleep. Gandik. It's done. Tomorrow, Mitzvah, the sun will come out. Today, you're done. And it's 100% in halacha. You're potter. There's no question. But that wasn't my father's point. He wasn't making any point. He just couldn't live like that. It wasn't his life. His life was, you go in the sukkah. So if you can't go in the sukkah, so you sit and you look in the sukkah. Whatever it was he was doing. It wasn't anything Kabbalistic. It was his metzias as a person in the world, as a yid. It was his metzias as a yid. This is the difference. When Yiddishkeit is something, and you look at everything through those lens, that's what Rav Kook is talking about. When it's your life, that's what he says, that the life of a Jew is Kedusha. It's not something that we do. It's not something that like is a Chochma, it's the mitzvahs of a yid. It's the mitzvahs of the Jewish people, and that's what Rav Kook is saying, that life doesn't have any value. Chaim she'enem elokim, life for that sukkah is just kind of life. It's not a life. Enem shavim b'moma, it's not worth anything. It's not worth the Am Yisrael a life without the Rabbi Shalom. It's not worth any of this. That's uniquely Jewish. That's uniquely Jewish. Chayim she'enem mu'orim bo'or Hashem. Einam ma'anyonim do not interest. Life without Hashem does not interest Am Yisrael. Einam erach, that they don't have any value of aim. Einam shavim ba'enam, they're not worth anything in his eyes. Lo ken ha'goyim. It's not so with the rest of the world. Hem chayim chayi hanoz, mamtziyim minei umlis. People are looking for all kinds of ways to enjoy. And when people retire, they find, you know, different hobbies, things that they can do. Or even before they retire, shyness, or sports, they're into sports, they're into whatever, it's coins and stamps, whatever they do. A way to spend time in a way that they could enjoy, you could have fun, that's nice. Ach al tshukosim sheYisrael ka'am. But this collective national longing of a nation, of the Jewish people, sheKitshukas nishmas, Kol Prat, which is like the tshuka of the soul, of everything that exists, seeking to connect to its entirety. So Kehelis, we've spoken about this pasuk many times over the years, but Shlomo Melech says that the soul cannot be filled, and everybody remembers that the Chazal say the famous medrash, Labas Melech, Shenisali Ironi of the princess, that married a regular guy from town, that the guy's a good guy. The colonel is cultured, he buys her all that he can afford. But she's never satisfied. Because she grew up in the palace. So even though he's a good guy, but he's limited, you know. So she's not satisfied. She misses what she used to have when she lived in the palace. That's what a Jew is. A Jew is a person of gaguim, of missing the palace, of wanting something that this world cannot provide. Of wanting something that the world doesn't give, that the world can't provide. Ve'ein dovish shemamalios, princess. Kach haneshamim, so too is the soul of a Jew. Hachatzuvah me'aris baruch, that is chiyun from the light of God. Im chaser lo halakus, if it's missing a lakus, ein dovish yoch aligolam sipuk ulamalios. Nothing else can replace that. And even though the guy is a good guy, her husband. And it says in the Medrash, maybe they'll come out, then he brings all the things, the best things of the world. She's not. Hanefesh lo temalei. His soul is not full. Her soul is not full. So yeah, you could like a vacation, you could like music, you could like this, you could like that. But the soul of a Jew is not full. It's not filled by those things. Kach gam Knesset Yisrael. Hi yodas od shebemes ein chayim ela elokim. There is no life. Unless it's life that is godly. Chaim she'enem elokim, enem chaim klal. And life that is not elokus, enem chaim klal. And that's why, as I told you, we learned many times that the Ishbitzah says, or the Yaakov Ishbitzah says, that Kedusha, the definition of Kedusha is a hepo shal dorim shal mavaka. Kedusha means the opposite of looking at life as being insignificant and inconsequential. Everything is important because everything is godly. Everything in life is important because everything is elokus. Everything is elokus. The only way you could have these things, this is not important, this is, or this is when it's when the when The only time you have a lakus is when you go to shul. But if you look at everything through the lens of God, of godliness, then everything in life is significant. Everything in life is important. How you conduct yourself on the basketball court, it's important. Not now, I'm not in shul, I'm under the basketball court. Everything is a lakus. Everything is important. Everything is through those lenses. How you eat, how you talk, how you walk, how you dress, everything. Everything is through the same lens of Kedusha, of closeness, of Kirbas Elokim. That's everything. There's no, everything that you look at is that way. Hashem's work should help us to clean our lives.